like to call this meeting to order of our Legacy Conference Committee. The plan tonight, this morning, is to do, to go through Articles 4 and 5 right now, that's what we have before us, and then proceed to Articles 1 and 3. Probably not going to be able to do Article 2 tonight. We'll have to have a short session tomorrow to do Article 2. But therefore, if all you're here for is Article 2, I don't care if you leave. All right, so with that, we'll begin with Article 4, and I guess we're doing Article 5 first, and Ms. Mullen will walk us through that.
The document you should be looking at is H03084-5. And the timestamp on that is 11:22 p.m. Article.
Mr. Chair, I think we need a little more clarification on what we're looking at.
Sure.
Oh, never mind. It just got here. Because we couldn't find it.
Continue, please.
Chair, Mary Mullen with House Research. Article 5 starts on page 16 of this document. The first provision is the state band provision, which provides rehearsal space for the state band in the Capitol Area Complex. And sections 2, 3, 4, and 5 have similar language for each fund that allows the legislative auditor to report on legacy fund recipients who have not complied with applicable laws and place those recipients on the list regarding their eligibility for funding until the point at which those recipients have demonstrated compliance to the auditor. And those are all the provisions of Article 5.
Any questions on Article 5? If you see no questions on Article 5, let's proceed.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen?
Chairman, I recognize that this article is technical in nature and generally common to what we've done. I move adoption of Article 5. And, Mr. Chairman, I do so because at this late date, what we've talked about is adopting the bill article by article, getting the articles to the spreadsheet, getting the articles to the revisor so they can get a head start on trying to put this bill together for us. So I move adoption of Article 5.
Article 5 is removed. Any further discussion on the article? Senator Fischbach?
Mr. Chair, if there was just a way that we could just have an indication of where it came from, if it's Senator House, I don't even, I mean, other than looking, trying to compare it to my side-by-side, if they could just keep, and as we're going through, and that might be helpful just to kind of indicate that as we go through.
Thank you. Ms. Mullen?
Chair and representatives, in Article 5, Section 1, the state band language was the same for both the House and the Senate, with a small technical difference, and we took the Senate language. For Sections 2, 3, 4, and 5, those were House-only provisions, and the language is the same as it was in the side-by-side, and there are no changes to it.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion or questions? If not, the motion has been made to approve. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ms. Moore, would you proceed to Article 4 and also do the same as you did with Article 5, explaining where the portions are from?
I do. Chair and Representatives, Article 4, Section 1 is the general appropriation language. It is the same on both the House and the Senate. Section 2 is the total appropriation for Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. The total appropriation in the first year is $60,770,000. Total appropriation in the second year is $63,509,000. And the language for the rider is the same, both the House and the Senate. On page 2, line 8, is the beginning of the Minnesota State Arts Board appropriation. The first year is $26,747,000. Second year is $31,259,000. The riders in the arts section would be same for both the House and the Senate. The Minnesota Historical Society appropriation begins at the bottom of page 3 on line 33 with a total appropriation of $13,985,000 first year and $15,015,000 in the second year. The rider language for those was the same, but the House had a new grant provision, the historic recognition grants. Those are on page 6, starting at line 14. That rider language has been updated and included in this document. The Department of Education appropriation begins on page 6, line 30. $2,500,000 in the first year and $2,500,000 in the second year. The rider language on both the House and the Senate side were the same. On page 7 at line 24 begins the Department of Administration appropriation. $12,398,000 in the first year and $8,785,000 in the second year. The general rider language was the same. The Veterans Rest Camp appropriation was a House-only provision, and that was included. And the Lake Superior Zoo was a Senate-only provision that was included. Minnesota State Band was a Senate-only provision, and that was included. The Minnesota Zoo appropriation begins on the bottom of page 9 at line 33. Has $1,750,000 in both years. The Minnesota Humanities Center appropriation begins on page 10, line 7. The general appropriation language for Minnesota Humanities Center has a few changes. I believe it was the House language with some updates related to how the grants are administered. The appropriation also includes the health provision for the Heritage Grants Program. And that is on page 11, starting at line 5. And that's a new competitive grants program that was a House provision. The Civics Program was also included in the Humanities section, as well as Kajug. Those are both located on page 12. Those are House-only provisions. And the Minnesota State Council on Disability, which is a Senate-only provision, is also included, page 12, line 27.
Yeah.
Bottom of page 12, at line 33, is the beginning of the appropriations for the Purpich Center for Arts. $600,000 in the first year and $800,000 in the second year. For the Turnaround Arts Program, that was the Senate language on the rider for that. On page 13, at line 14, is the beginning of the appropriation for the Indian Affairs Council. It says a slightly different breakdown in how the funds are appropriated from either the House or the Senate language. It provides $990,000 each year for the Indian Affairs Council to provide grants for Dakota and Ojibwe Indian language programs and immersion programs. There's a carve-out for the two schools, the Nagani Ojibwe Immersion School and the Wekoiwa Nagikindan Urban Immersion Program. There's also a $10,000 appropriation in each year for the working group on Dakota and Ojibwe language, and $750,000 each year for the Indian Affairs Council related to the osteology laboratory. On page 14 at line 4, there is the disability access language. This was the Senate language. Appeared in all four funds. And finally, the state band language was accidentally inserted in duplicate. So I would ask that you strike Article 4, Section 3, page 14, lines 15 through 21, as those appear in Article 5.
Would you repeat that again, where?
Right. Page 14, at line 15, it's labeled Section 3 of Article 4. If somebody wanted to move that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make that motion.
They could do that, okay.
Senator Cohen has moved to make that deletion. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So moved and ordered.
Section 4 of Article 4 is at 14, line 22. This amends appropriation from 2014. It's a bonding provision. It's considered a technical change. You'll see the change is on page 15 at line 3. And this was in, I believe this was in both the House and the Senate. Section 5, it's on page 15 at line 9. This is the appropriation from 2014 for the Minnesota Historical Society. And starting at line 17, it inserts language providing funding for the Fulda Heritage Society, Chippewa Museum, and a grant for the Hibbing School District. This is a Senate provision with some changes. And that is all of Article 4.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Cohen.
Chairman, let me make a couple of comments and indicate what I'd like to recommend that we do. There's been a lot of back and forth with this bill today, principally because with the discussion about whether or not there was going to be a tax bill or not a tax bill, as changes were proposed to the sales tax, it had an impact on this bill, which is financed entirely, obviously, as we all know, through the sales tax. So both the House and the Senate, Mr. Chairman, were tracking their respective tax bills. So the Senate had a smaller tax bill than the House. So when we passed the bill out of the Senate, it had more money for this, for all the articles. That impacts particularly this article, because with the other articles, we've kept money at the bottom line. With Article 1, we don't have further recommendations from the Outdoor Heritage Council. The house tax bill, obviously, Mr. Chairman, as you and our House members know better than I, had a larger tax bill than the Senate, so there was more money removed, because as you change the sales tax, not the rate, but as you did things to the sales tax, this is June accelerated, you would reduce revenues through the sales tax. We've been reconciling these numbers over the last couple of days. What we're left on the bottom line is a little under $1 million, and that's reflected at the bottom of page 3 of the proposed spreadsheet. So that's one comment I wanted to make. Second comment is, and I'm going to guess most of the folks, Mr. Chairman, who are here this evening at 12:30 in the morning, were probably present at the Senate committee hearings, and Mr. Chairman, you did the same thing, but I just want to make sure everybody understands, legislators, folks here, staff, that one of the requirements of this committee has been to provide money for the capital art preservation, and that's $3.25 million. Obviously, this is a one-time appropriation. We're not going to be doing this again. Second, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the work that you and I have done to try to keep that appropriation outside of other appropriations, to not take money away from the arts appropriation, the historical society appropriations, the humanities, and so on. So it's done outside of other sums and other proposed appropriations. The consequence of that, however, is that you're taking $3.25 million away from what we can do. And as a consequence, it holds a lot of appropriations flat from where they were 2 years ago. Mr. Chairman, you and I have talked about this, and we have to repeat to everybody that's here that the legacy amendment has contemplated, and I'm always fond of saying that it began in the Senate Finance Committee in 2005 is where it was put together originally, that this is one-time money. It's not, there's not a base level amount as there is for appropriations spread throughout the state budget. This is one-time money. And simply because you got the money this year doesn't mean you get the money next year. But the consequence of the $3.25 million being taken out is such that where we do have the areas that have had money year after year, or bill after bill, the library appropriation, humanities centers, and so on, public broadcasting, you look at a lot of these appropriations and they are flat, basically. And that's a consequence of, like I said, taking a large amount out of the bill. That won't be there in 2 years. So hopefully we'll go back to trying to provide some increases to not the base level, but to the one-time spending. So, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make those couple of comments so we understood the context of the bill. Now, because this thing has been a moving target for the last couple of days, and that's one reason for me at this hour is, Mr. Chairman, you and I had discussions going back to yesterday as to could we meet in the morning, could we meet at noon, and we're now meeting into the early morning hour. So I've had a chance to talk to Senate conferees one-on-one. I'm wondering if you would mind, I realize it's the hour's late, if we could have a recess for just a few minutes, and if the senators could, if we could meet outside and just go over a couple of things relative to this article, if that would be okay. I don't anticipate it would take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be okay?
I have no objection to that, and for those who have heard me before, I didn't write his remarks. We did all.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, for that.
I made a similar talk to him earlier this year.
And I like the way you said I was able to do it a long time.
Yes. we are in recess for 5 minutes?
We'll say, play it safe 10 minutes.
All right, 10 minutes. All right, showtime again. Okay, we're on Article 4. And we have, show off the amendment.
Yep. So, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the time a little bit longer than a few minutes, but I think it's going to be helpful to keep this moving fairly smoothly and expeditiously. So, Mr. Chairman, I indicated that we have money left in the bottom line. Indicated that the one place where I'm a little bit queasy about the funding is the libraries. So you and I have talked. I would like to move, and I'm sorry, maybe council could help me out with
page 6, line 3.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen. On page 6, line 30, would move to add $200,000 to each appropriation in 16 and 17 for a total of an additional $400,000. And Mr. Chairman, I know we talked about what would be an appropriate figure. We bounced around a few figures, and I know in our discussion it seemed that was the most appropriate figure. Obviously, a recommendation from a fiscal staff is to keep some money, even in this article, on the bottom line, at least a little bit, to play it safe. So I'd move, I'd make that motion.
Okay, there's been a motion to add $200,000 each year to the libraries. Further discussion, members? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And Mr. Chairman, if I could just make another comment about that. Senator Stumpf presented to me the issue, and I had mentioned this, that the Department of Education has asked for some support in working on these grants, and there are a lot of grants. It seemed to be a reasonable request, but we all agreed that we haven't had a chance to really vet that in terms of what's needed, what's not needed. What I suggested to Senator Stumpf, what I suggest to members of the conference committee, is that next year in the supplemental finance bill, you know, we won't have a legacy bill other than Upper Heritage, but we have had some appropriations in supplemental finance that have been legacy kinds of appropriations. We would take a look at that next year and explore exactly what they need to do in, again, supplemental finance. So, Mr. Chairman, I think the other motion on this article, the other place where there is some difference and wanted to just raise the issue, and so I don't think it's included, it's on the spreadsheet. I don't think it's in the proposed draft, but the Senate had appropriated $30,000 for completion of the bust of Nellie Stone Johnson. And I'm sure the House has heard discussion about this, and the Senate, we had a strong presentation to the full Finance Committee by Senator Champion about the history and the life of Ms. Johnson, somebody who I knew somewhat before her passing and her contributions to Minnesota's history. And so I would like to move inclusion of the $30,000 for completion of the bust to be placed somewhere in the Capitol building.
Further, any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fischbach?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, is that money coming off the bottom line then? Is that where that's coming from?
I believe that would be correct because I don't think it, I think it was removed from the spreadsheet. Is that right, Ms. Cohen? Right. Yeah, so it would come off the bottom line.
Thank you.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, is that language with that, is it a bust? Or when we talked about that, it could be a statute?
There is language in the Senate provision. Senator Stone?
Just, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. I knew Nellie, and she was a wonderful lady and created what they call penny scholarships for Minskew students. Very active and very concerned about education. And so that's She did a lot in her lifetime.
And, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cole.
My motion would incorporate the Senate language on R98, line 92.26 through 92.29. It just says $30,000 the first year is for a bust of Nellie Tone Johnson, placed in the state capitol building. So I would move the appropriation and the Senate language.
Now, further discussion on that motion. Senator Scalzi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And getting back to Representative Murphy's comments, was there a time when it was discussed to be a statute rather than a bust? Could you educate us a little bit on that comment?
Representative Murphy, do you know?
Mr. Chair, at the time that we first talked about it, we talked about that there are no women statues in the Capitol, and there are no women busts in the Capitol either, for that matter. But we thought that because of Nellie Stone Johnson's contributions to the state and so many children coming into the state or into the Capitol, that it would be fitting in some way that there could be a statue rather than just a head on a stand, so that the children that come in could have touch it and walk around it and sit in the lap perhaps, or something where they could interact with the statue, and it would become more so. And since then, I know that there's a group of people that are working on something along those lines that I don't know how far along or anything like it's going, but I think that just a head on a pedestal doesn't fit with kids very well.
And so
that's why I asked the question, because I think when we first had it in the legacy committee, we changed the wording to statue.
Senator Cole.
Mr. Chairman, I would not oppose if Representative Murphy wanted to amend the Senate language to like a bust or a statue of Nellie Johnson. Would somebody accept that language? I will indicate, Mr. Chairman and Representative Murphy, I want to get into a long discussion about this, because obviously I've made the motion, familiar with the history, as I mentioned. Senator Stumpf has spoken to that. We have one of our friends in the audience, Mr. Redman, and he and I spent about 50 or 60 years of our lives working on the Humphrey Memorial on the Capitol.
I don't think Mr. Redman is that old.
Yeah. Well, it felt that way. It was a long time. The first appropriation, Representative Murphy, was when I first chaired State Departments in the Senate. And it took a long, long time. And I would say good luck to anybody who wants to do that. We had public dollars. We raised a lot of private dollars. When we didn't have the temporary parking surrounding the memorial, it's filled with people on nice days. President Clinton spoke at that occasion. It took forever to do it. So I think
he does have long speeches.
So, Mr. Chairman, is that for Teddy Hoover Humphrey or myself? So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman and Representative Murphy, here's what the language presented in Senator Champion's amendment actually presented to us.
Any further discussion? Before we go on, I will just comment that I interviewed Nellie Stone Johnson for one of my books, which is available. No, forget it. All right. If there is no further discussion, we'll come to a vote. Those in favor of the motion to include a funding for a bust or statue of Nellie Stone Johnson, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Fails. Division?
Okay.
Never mind. Okay, thank you. All right. So, anything else on Article 4?
Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of Article 4 as amended with one exception, and with the exception of Section 12, and Section 12 is the Minnesota Historical Society. Grant program to the three appropriations. And I'll just indicate, there has been some question, members of the Senate, I'll indicate, there's been some question raised about the Hibbing School District proposal. And so, to try to keep things moving, I would move adoption of Article 4 with that exception.
The motion has been made. Further discussion?
What page is it on?
I'm sorry, on 15.
We will likely be revisiting this section. But for our purposes tonight, Senator Cohen's motion Ms. Mullen?
Chair and Representatives, are you, is the motion to remove Section 5 in its entirety?
No.
No.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, Senator Cohen, the motion is simply to move Article 4 excluding, I guess it would be Section 12 in the line above and 15.9. That would be excluded from the motion, but it doesn't remove it from the bill, though.
Further discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Kind of going backwards, but Article 3, Parks and Trails. Let me just ask, Mr. Mullen, do we have the, in the spreadsheet, has the appropriation been changed to reflect the change in the tax bill? The light of the tax bill. I would call on you, but your name isn't Greg.
Just a moment.
Thanks.
There it is. Mr. Mullen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, the numbers that are in the spreadsheet in front of you show a tax change that would add $1.2 million to the entirety of the legacy funds. Those numbers are not the same that are contained in the articles. The articles include the numbers that assume no tax changes.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mullen, I want to make sure.
Senator Cohen.
So the spreadsheet reflects the change or the lack of a tax bill, and Article 3 reflects taking that additional money and apportioning it with the 40-20 split. Is that correct in the spreadsheet?
Mr. Mullen. Mr. Chair, Senator Cohen, it's the other way around. The spreadsheet reflects the tax change. The article reflects no tax change.
Okay. So,
Mr. Chair,
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, from what I'm understanding, then the spreadsheet we have in front of us is not necessarily accurate because it does reflect those numbers if there was a tax bill. Am I understanding correctly?
That's right. That was wrong.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Mr. Senator Cohen,
Chairman,
so let me make sure. We had a new spreadsheet distributed to us at some point during the meeting, 12:29 a.m. Is that the one you're referring to?
Mr. Mullen. Senator Cohen, no. The spreadsheet I'm referring to is the one that I created, time-stamped, 11:37 p.m. The spreadsheet that was distributed at 12:29 a.m. reflects the correct numbers with no tax changes.
Okay.
Senator Cohen.
All right, so Mr. Chairman, I would move Article 3. Let me make sure, Mr. Moment, if you could please listen, if council could listen. I would move adoption of Article 3, the Parks and Trails section, as contained in the draft, which reflects the appropriations 40-40-20 with no tax break. That's cool. So I make that motion.
Senator Cohen has made his motion to accept Article 3.
Mr. Chair.
Discussion. Senator Fischbach.
Any kind of explanation?
I can go to it.
Of the article?
Of the article?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
All right, sorry.
Chair Erdahl, members, I can, Carlin Doyle Fontaine, Senate Council, I'll go through Article 3 of Parks and Trails Fund. On the first page, the appropriations language and the Parks and Trails language on this page was the same on the same and similar, so we're good to go with that page. On page 2, there is most of the language all the way down to 2.32 on that page was the same on both the House and Senate side. The language has been changed a little bit on lines 2.32 to 3.10 just to reflect a little bit more, for more detail. And this is for the grant to St. Louis County Regional Railroad Authority for the Mesabi Trail from Embarrass to toward Tower, and then the other trail for a grant to the City of La Crescent for the Wagon Wheel Trail. The language is just a bit different, but this was contained in the Senate side of the side-by-side. Then on page 3, at the bottom of the page there, is some language that came from the Senate bill on line 3.25 to 3.33. And this would, of the amount appropriated to the Department of Natural Resources, some of this money would go to the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails to carry out its duties and to also continue to develop the statewide system plan for the regional parks that are outside the seven county metropolitan area. Following that, on the bottom of page 3 and at the top of page 4 is some language that came from the House bill. And these would be for two reports or a list of projects coming from the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission in paragraph C, and then in paragraph D, it requires the Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission to submit a report containing the criteria for the funding of the parks and trails and just some more information coming from that organization regarding their priorities and how they're going to be doing the grant criteria. On page 4, there is some language in paragraph E on line 4.21. This is House language for funding a website for enhanced web-based information for park and trail users. And then on line 4.28, to the bottom of the page and up to the top of page 5, there is some new language or some changed language for the, we heard some testimony the other day on the Center for Changing Landscapes, and this would still be the same grant amount for $260,000 for a grant to the University of Changing Landscapes, but it includes some language regarding completing the legacy tracking project, and it also specifies that at the bottom of the page on line 4.35 that the tracking project and survey work must be done in collaboration with the Department of Natural Resources, the Metropolitan Council, and Greater Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Commission. So it brings everyone together and requires some collaboration with those agencies and groups. On page 5, the riders from line 5.4 down to 5.34 were the same on the House and Senate side. I do think there's some language actually at the bottom at 5.29 that was for the Metropolitan Council just regarding saying that any funds remaining after completion of listed projects may be spent by the implementing agencies on projects to support parks and trails, and that came from the House bill. Page six, this language is the same on both the House and Senate side. And there's an old writer here from, writers from 2013. So if you go all the way over to page 11, this was on line 11.6. This was the same in both the House and Senate bill. It's regarding a safe trail crossing in the Lake Minnetonka Light Rail Regional, LRT Regional Trail. That was the same on both sides. And on page 12, the provision at the bottom, the Masada Trail Grant Extension, that was also the same in both the House and Senate bills. And that concludes Article 3. I would mention, Mr. Chair, that the in the Senate side, we did include some language for the Minnesota China Friendship Garden Society and then the culturally relevant activities fields, and that is now in the Arts and Cultural Heritage article. So it's not on the Senate Parks and Trails side anymore.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Cohen.
So I appreciate Ms. Doyle Fontaine's recitation of what's in Article 3. And so I'd move adoption of Article 3.
Adoption has been moved in Article 3. Any discussion on Article 3? Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Article 3, the motion passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
So, Mr. Chairman, we made a bit of a mistake, and I apologize for the lateness and kind of a bit of the rush. I'd like to ask the indulgence of House members and move to reconsider the motion whereby Article 5 was adopted, so we would have the opportunity to discuss some Senate language that we glossed over. But if members would allow, I'd make that motion for reconsideration.
Senator Cohen has moved to reconsider Article 5. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We will reconsider Article 5.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, if I could direct your attention to page R105, this is on the side-by-side. That's where the confusion was because it's not in draft. This is the side-by-side, and at the bottom of the page, line 77.12, there was language adopted on the Senate floor, and would like to move inclusion of that language. I think, Mr. Chairman, I can speak to our, I know Senator Fischbach is better prepared to speak to it.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I was actually going to wait until tomorrow when I had the opportunity to gather a little more information from the author, and because the Chair Erdahl and we had a brief conversation about it, and I wanted to find out more from Senator Senjum, who authored it.
So, Mr. Chairman, we move the reconsideration and pass that motion. And I think Senator Fischbach's request is appropriate. If you wait until tomorrow, we have it in front of us. That would be okay.
Well, Senator, we could start with that tomorrow.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Chairman, we've adopted, with the exception of reconsideration, we've adopted three of the articles. Mr. Chairman, in our conversation, we thought we have the one part of Article 4 that we set aside and thought that we probably should wait on both Article 1 and Article 2. First of all, we have the absence of Representative McNamara, who's been involved in both those sections, as well as Representative Torkelson, who has been involved in the clean water section.
Representative Torkelson is working on Article 2 as we speak here.
So Mr. Chairman, I think we're doing a pretty good job of putting this thing together without taking forever, but maybe we should call it quits for the morning.
I'll make that motion.
Just trying to be helpful.
Are you sure, Senator Fischbach? You were quite lively. Yes. It has been moved to adjourn for the night and recess. So we recess and adjourn. We adjourn. Call the chair. Yes. Yes. We are adjourned to call the chair tomorrow.